You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, third hour, coming to you live from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. It's where we hang out every single day, 3 hours a day. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Tuesday around the country. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206 on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. NBA tilting the axis. The axis could change a little bit tonight. A lot at stake here. By the way, just a heads up, we just added somebody for Thursday. So we have Nick Faldo. It's a big golf week, even though today's a big NBA day. But the PGA Championship, not too far from where our studio is in Long Island, Bethpage. So we have Nick Faldo tomorrow, live from Bethpage. And Tiki is out Thursday, correct?
Yep.
Okay, but I know we have Brando Chambly. He's going to call in the show from Bethpage on Thursday. So we got you covered with the golf, and we continue to have you covered with the hoops as well. We're joined now by Marcus Thompson, the third columnist for The Athletic and author of KD. Marcus, Tiki and Tierney, how are you today?
Oh, I'm pretty good. It's a good day.
It's
not
great
every day you release a book, huh?
Yeah, no, congratulations, man. This is, I'm sure it's a long time in the making, and this thing is out now, but you could have pre-ordered it. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it anywhere, bookstores, et cetera. I'm sure it's going to be a very well-read. What was the biggest takeaway that you got from doing this story or this book on Kevin Durant? Like, he's an interesting character because sometimes he feels like, you know, he's odd and he's confrontational with the media, but other times he's a superstar. I mean, what did you get from KD?
You know what I got, actually? I remember there was this moment where I'm writing and I'm explaining, like, how he basically allowed his dad back into his life after leaving him when he was young and why he would want to do that. And I remember talking to a friend of mine who did the same thing and trying to, like, just understand the psychology of not having the bitterness and I'll never talk to you again. You know, that's a common retort.
Yep.
I'm like, why did this dude, like, why did he say, yeah, you can come back? Like, yeah, you can make your way. And I remember sitting there thinking, like, wow, you know what? This dude has been through a lot, and if the worst thing we can say about him is he's sensitive, that's kind of a victory, right? Like, I remember thinking, like, wow,
that's interesting.
I've criticized him, and I thought, man, you shouldn't be handling that this way. You shouldn't do that. But in the end, I mean, what he's been through is kind of nuts that, I mean, many people from where he's from did not make it out. They died. They're in jail. They're bitter. They're unhappy. Like, they're on drugs. So, like, it just changed my perspective a little bit. Made me just put it into the proper context. He is sensitive, right?
Yeah.
He does feel things, but it's okay. When you've been through what he's been through, it's all right. It's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, Marcus, because I remember I was going down to D.C. No, I was going to Boston, but I was taking the shuttle to Boston, and there's obviously a D.C. shuttle as well, and I ran into Kevin's mother. And she was great, unbelievable, like very outgoing and happy and just an amazing. And you could tell where that influence, works on Kevin. In this book, it'd probably be easy for you to talk about all his exploits, MVP and, you know, two-time finals MVP. How much of this book is about the Kevin that we don't know, but we think we know?
I think it's a lot about that. It's trying to put into context this guy that we see, right, this enigmatic figure who's basically forced his way into becoming this transcendent, like, NBA, like, personality.
Yeah.
Like, how did it happen? And, like, who is this dude? Because when he was in Oklahoma City, he was just this nice, humble guy who could get buckets, right? Like, it was all so simple. And, you know, his mom was the real MVP, and he donated $1 million to tornado relief. We were like, man, this is a good guy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, shucks. And then he gets under this microscope of a dynasty, and we find him to be, like, much more than just a simple, humble kid, right? Like, he's still got that, but he's also got some bite to him, right? He's also got some willingness to scrap to him and, you know, some sensitivity, and he's got all these elements. So it was just really like getting to the essence of that, like what shaped him, what made him. And the thing that really jumped out for me, especially someone, because I lost my father, and I just know how much that has shaped my life. But that dude has dealt with a lot of deaths.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I mean, so, you know, like while we're saying, like, you shouldn't handle it this way, like, this is that, nah, this is not how you do it. The other part is like, I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how did you get through that? Like, how did you make it? It's really kind of crazy how he's able to just be here, and he really maximize his potential. Like, that's crazy to me.
Well, there's no blueprint to deal with tragedy is what you're saying. I mean, you know, there's really no rhyme or reason. You've got to live and you got to learn. He's got to kind of trudge on and forge ahead. So, listen, he's Kevin Durant. The sensitivity, I think that's a great asset. I mean, I've always, if somebody says you're sensitive and that's the worst thing they say about you, I think you're doing something okay. We're talking to Marcus Thompson II. He's the Bay Area columnist for The Athletic and author of the new book, KD, which dropped today. One thing we don't hear that much about, I'm very curious because you worked with him so intimately, and we know about basketball intelligence and basketball IQ. Do you believe that Kevin Durant is naturally intelligent? Is he well-read? Is he curious about science or math? I know he's curious about politics. He weighed in on that. But do you just believe that he is a very cerebral, intelligent person or somewhere in the middle?
No, he's super curious. Like, and he's one of those dudes, and I'm sure y'all know exactly who I'm talking about when I say it. He's one of those dudes that's like deep for no reason. like everybody else is just like, yo, that's just a ball.
Yeah.
But for him, it's like, yo, like this is a ball.
So you mean Marcus? Right? You mean not just deep after a couple of puffs?
Yeah.
Right. Like he's that guy. I remember when Kanye West, and I wrote about this in the book, when Kanye West had his slavery was a choice controversy, and everybody was like, man, can you believe Kanye? And I'm going and taking a post around Oracle. Can you believe you said that? I can't believe you said that. Then you get to KD, and he's like, y'all want to know what I think? And we're like, oh, here he goes.
Yeah,
like,
dig in.
He's that dude who's going to intentionally take the contrarian side just for the sake of the conversation, just because he likes the mental jousting and to think different and to challenge you and to challenge himself. Like, so he's definitely that cerebral dude who just looks at things a little differently.
Okay, so, and I thought you would say that, but, and this leads me to my next point, because he seems to be a little contrary to the norm, do you believe, does that embolden you to say that you believe he will be on the Knicks because that is contrary to the norm? If you look at the last 20-year trend, people are running away from the Knicks, not running to them. Do you believe he's contrary there?
I think the idea of people saying you're crazy for thinking you can bring the Knicks to a championship, I think he's the type of dude, especially now after what he's been through with being the villain and being hated, where he's like, yeah, y'all not about to tell me what to do, right? Like, and sure, I'll do it. I think it's definitely on the table. I think it's definitely one of the preferred options he has, maybe the preferred, but I don't think there's anything about Kevin Durant who is at all concerned with what the status quo is. And if that's the counter element, leaving a championship team to go try to do something on his own and build something from scratch, I think he'd be quite emboldened to do so.
Yeah.
Unlike before when he was in Oklahoma City, when he was really just trying to be likable, and then he couldn't anymore. Like, once he made the move and everybody's criticizing him, like, there was, like, that was gone. That innocence was gone. And since then, he's like, all right, I'm going to do me.
That's kind of awesome. Yeah, Marcus, I can't wait to read this book. It's Kevin Durant's relentless pursuit to be the greatest. And as you're talking about, you know, who he is and the type of guy he is, the contrarian, he's like, you want to hear what I got to say? Doesn't it sound a lot like Kyrie Irving? And Kyrie, interestingly, is also rumored to be joining KD with the Knicks. I mean, how would they work together? And is New York, will New York embrace that?
I mean, if they get buckets and win, I'm sure New York
Yeah, you know what I mean.
But, man, doesn't it seem like, hold on, y'all sure y'all want to do this?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. I mean, it's going to be a lot of, you know, don't talk to me about basketball. I got a deeper conversation
They're really good friends. They talk all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I know Kevin Durant is one of those people who really kind of like, he's really sappy about like basketball and camaraderie and team and all that stuff. He's really into that and hyping up the lesser guys on the bench and getting excited for them and hanging out with his teammates and laughing. So I know he values that, which means he probably really values his relationship with Kyrie because they're friends, right? Like they're real friends. So there's a part of him that's probably thinking, it'd be nice to play basketball with my friends.
Yeah.
Where before he played with dudes he thought might be cool and know how to play the game and didn't really know them, but like, let me go try them. This would be him playing with his friends.
Yeah.
So that might be enough to lure him, even though that could be risky knowing who they are.
Yeah, I mean, but it reminds us of Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, right? Obviously, they went to where Dwayne Wade was familiar in Miami, but at some point, doesn't it feel like this is the nouveau LeBron and Dwayne Wade? Let's get together, play, and try to win a championship.
You know what? I think LeBron like kind of kick-started it, and I think Kevin Durant made it so it was like the norm. Because really, like they compiled such a team where you just had to. You had to team up to survive, right? Like otherwise you didn't stand a chance, which is why even though Houston kind of like really choked, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad. But you got to give them credit. They went for it. You know, they were like, we're going to try to take down the champs. And everybody else is like, man, please, Kevin Durant, leave so we can have a shot. Right? So he made a move that forced people to rethink how they construct teams and make players rethink about this whole teaming up. Like, because, you know, everybody was trying to act like they were from the 90s and you don't do that. Yeah, now they're doing it, right? Because they don't really have a choice. And we're already hearing about who's teaming up in the offseason now. So he definitely changed the game with that move. Like now it's basically par for the course, and Charles Barkley's just gonna have to deal with it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Charles gonna have to get off my lawn. I mean, I love you, Charles.
Right?
But you gotta take it easy there, buddy. All right, let me ask you this, Marcus Thompson. By the way, I've read you a lot. I love your delivery, and I know the book is gonna have a similar, very upbeat, very just a good energy, good stuff. Marcus Thompson, the second with us here, columnist for the Bay Area Athletic, the new book, Kevin Durant, KD dropped today. So. Obviously, tonight is about Zion Williamson, but I made the point earlier, Mark, is that tonight is also almost equally about, in an odd way, Anthony Davis. If the right team wins the lottery tonight, I believe that obviously could set up a chain of events where they trade even Zion and trade him for Anthony Davis. I believe people are focusing just too much on Zion tonight. I think Anthony Davis is a big part of the equation as well. What do you say?
I mean, I hear you. Man, it's just so risky. That dude is his health, right? Like, I mean, do you really give up Zion for a dude who you can't guarantee is going to play 70 games? Like, that's such a risky proposition.
Mm-hmm.
And even as great as Anthony Davis is, and I know the Knicks are print money, but which one is more buzz? Like, who's going to feel that thing?
But they sold it out for Stevie Francis.
I know, right? My Lord. That's what I'm saying. They're just print money. I guess it don't matter. Jeremy Lin will go shut that thing down.
It's true.
Hey, I went. I didn't go to a lot of Knicks games, but I went to that one.
You were there. That's a tough. I hear you. From a basketball perspective, that would make a lot of sense because Zion, you just don't know. It's a take the proven commodity or the unproven one. But, you know, here's what I'm hoping anyway. I hope Zion goes. I hope the Hawks get the number one pick.
We talked about that earlier.
I mean, put him and Trey together, like I feel like we deserve that.
And by the way, John Collins pretty good too. Pretty good,
right?
I know.
I bet you Vince Carter's like, yeah, I got a couple more years in me.
That's right. And he'd be in ACC country too, which obviously wouldn't be bad for the brand from Duke. Listen, we got to bounce. We know you're on the tour as well. Best of luck with the book and really good spot, Marcus. Well done on Tiki and Tierney.
Thank you so much. I'll be looking forward to hearing from y'all when it's decision time in July.
Yeah, well,
decision's already made, buddy.
Yeah,
you know that.
We're hitting you up. Appreciate you, Marcus.
All right, thanks.
Marcus Thompson, the book is KD, Kevin Durant's KD? Resentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest. Now, we all remember back when he won that MVP, right before he won the MVP.
When he was rocking the backpack still?
Yeah, and he was talking about, I've always been second. You know, second in high school. It's a second pick. And, you know, KD wants to be the best. He's climbing. I mean, he's there.
That's right. That's why he's got to play in the best venue in the NBA.
Right.
And he's got to take on the biggest, best challenge,
right,
which would be the Knicks. He is a fascinating person, Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I mean, he really, like, you know.
I thought you were going to say Marcus. Marcus is as well.
Marcus, well, that's why I complimented him. You know, I meant it. I mean, Marcus, terrific energy, just pulsating out of the phone. It was really good. and I think our audience enjoyed that as well. We'll get him back on the show at some point. But you know
when KD signs with the Knicks.
Exactly. The first installment of like Kevin Durant was, you know, he's just like vanilla, just this great scorer, this basketball prodigy, 6'11 freak who could just put it in from anywhere on the court. Now you're starting to see the real KD, and the real KD is a deep thinker, but also a badass from the tough streets. And if you cross him, you're gonna know.
It's interesting.
And I love that.
It's interesting how Marcus presented that because he was right when he was young in Oklahoma City. You knew he was like a great player, but you didn't pay attention really. It's kind of like, okay, he's great. He's making all stars, but what are they doing? Right now, you see Kevin Durant as one of maybe the most unstoppable player in basketball right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop him.
No.
He's going to do what he wants to do. He's going to go where he wants to go. He's going to shoot three-pointers. He's going to dunk on you, find a spot, knock it down. Score 45 if you want. He can score 50 every night if you wanted to.
He's great. We know that.
Yeah.
Here's what we don't know, though. Is there a chance the Warriors are, I'll put quotes around the word better because I have to frame this the right way so we don't lose our credibility. We know that they're not better, but are they, quote-unquote, better, the Warriors, without Durant? The record says they are. We'll get into that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Are you taking good care of your car? Well, show your vehicle some love at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you'll get better parts, better prices every day. They have the parts you need to get the job done right, from measuring tools, mechanic wire, and motor oil to cylinders, starters, and springs. From batteries, belts, and brakes to filters, fluids, and fuses, O'Reilly Auto Parts has it all. O'Reilly stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. It's one-stop shopping for all your vehicle needs. Do you need something? The store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help. And if you don't have time to get to the store, shop O'Reilly online. You can have your order shipped directly to your house or go to the store. Want to buy even more stuff? Become an O'Reilly Rewards loyalty member and you'll earn points every time you shop, no matter how you shop. When you reach 150 points, you earn a $5 reward. Keep going and earn double points, bonus points, even mega points. Plus, get an exclusive email-only offer. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices, every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and at 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, national simulcast 3 hours a day. Sirius XM Channel 206 on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. So I'm not going to say the guy's name. I don't want to give him any unnecessary Twitter love or followers or whatever, any traction. There's a guy, unverified account, okay, with an NBA handle, partly. It's his name, whatever, and then he's got some NBA stuff in there. But non-verified, no blue check, and I saw this during the break. And he had, it's probably about a 20 or 30-second clip. Actual, like, this was not fake. This was real. A 20 or 30-second clip of the draft is in Chicago tonight. I mean, the draft is in, where's the draft? It's Chicago. It's not. I know it's not New York or New Jersey like it usually is. Where is it?
The NBA draft?
Chicago, right?
You mean the lottery?
The lottery.
Yeah.
Where's the lottery tonight?
That might be in Chicago. The draft is in Barclays.
No, I know. But where's the lottery? They moved it.
I think you're right, and I don't know off the top of my head.
Chicago, right? Yeah, Chicago. So this was obviously in Chicago, and this video is of the rehearsal for the lottery. And you can hear the ESPN talents going through the different machinations and saying things.
Yeah.
And if this guy, and he posted it. Now, a couple of things give me pause. The NBA, the door was open. And it just seemed like it was a pretty relatively lawless environment. Hey, pop in, see what's going on. There's no way the NBA would, you know, when they make you take your cell phone and they basically, you know, need fingerprints to get into the room with with Ernst & Young. I can't imagine that this is real. It very well might just be a dry run and they just rip it off teams, whatever. And the order is almost irrelevant. But they had the Suns winning. They had the Suns winning. And they had the Knicks at number 5. And the way my mind works, do you throw a few bucks on the Suns to win the lottery? I mean, I'm just asking the question.
No.
What if this was actually a colossal gaffe by the NBA
there's no
and they
way.
Messed up?
There's no way.
Why? What do you mean there's no way? mean, he's always away.
I mean, there's always a way, yeah. I mean, in Game of Thrones, they had a Starbucks cup on the set, so.
Did they really?
Yes.
What was that? It was probably Aaron Rodgers, right? He left it there?
Yeah, probably, because Aaron is in the final. Aaron. He's in the final episode?
I haven't seen it yet. How
penultimate episode. Penultimate episode.
How I haven't gotten it.
You know why?
Show.
Because you're so far behind. It's just it's daunting.
It's daunting. Yeah,
think
exactly.
About catching
it feels
up.
Incredibly daunting to get sucked back in.
You don't have enough life,
I don't have free time.
Work, family,
but I caught
T-ball
up.
Time to catch up.
How many seasons? Five? Six?
It's seven.
That's a lot.
There's eight,
man.
And they're on the eight right now.
You know, it's funny you say that because when I ruptured my Achilles is when I caught up on Oz. Mm. I didn't watch Oz in real time. This is a million years ago. I guess it was 06 when I caught up. I watched The Sopranos in real time. I watched The Wire in real time.
Yeah. That was like on a weekly basis.
No, Oz, I was able to...
Catch up. But I'm talking about The Sopranos you watched in
real time. Sunday night, 9 o'clock. Let's go. Can't
wait. Sam to binge it. It took him forever.
He finally, our producer finally watched it this year. Sopranos.
Here's the problem.
Not Billions.
But here's
not Ozark.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem with you with Game of Thrones. Mm. You can't not pay attention to watch. You know what I mean? Because sometimes
can't be distracted.
Yeah, I can binge stuff.
Yeah.
And I do this all the time where I'm not really paying attention. I'm just kind of listening.
Sure.
You might
be on your phone.
Not looking. I'm just kind of something loud happens and I look and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But I'm not really paying attention. You can't do that.
Why can't you do that with
because
this?
There's too much detail. There's too many nuances in family structure and relationships and, you know, why somebody does something. If you're not watching it, you miss it.
Gotcha.
Right? And the toughest part for me watching it is every character looks the same. It's all a bunch of medium sized brown haired white guys with beards.
Yes.
And so if you turn away, and then sometimes they switch the actor. There's a couple characters.
What do the women look like?
Well, the women are easy to kind of figure out.
The women are distinct.
Yeah. But all the guys, it's just like...
That's all that matters, then.
It's a bunch of guys. Well, for a while, the guys are the keys, to find out who's going where.
I hear you.
There's all a bunch of guys with brown hair and beards. You're like, which brown hair bearded guy is that? And if you don't get the name, and you're like, I don't know which story arc I'm following right now.
Okay.
Which, and then they switch the actor. You're like, I thought I knew what I was talking about, but now I have no clue.
D-Cell, are you into it? Game of Thrones?
I have not seen 1 minute.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm trying, though. I want to get into it.
Yeah.
It's hard to
find. Do you watch Billions on Showtime?
No, that I
see.
Don't
that's the kind of that's more appealing to me.
Yeah,
that's real.
Yeah, because it feels real.
That's real. It is real. Yeah. You know.
I mean, of course,
Wall Street,
not
and
an actual,
finances, and
not
manipulation,
an actual,
and relationships,
it's
and
not an actual story, but it very easily could be an
it's
actual
a depiction
story.
Of life.
It could be an actual story.
Game of Thrones, I guess, was a depiction of medieval times, right?
No, it's fantasy. It's fake.
It's just dragons.
Fully fake?
It's fully fake. There's dragons and all this stuff. But the one thing that will make it easier for you to binge and watch it.
You think dragons actually existed at one point?
100%.
Dragons, no.
In the history of the
world.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's some dinosaur out there with wings. Yeah, absolutely.
Fire?
Yeah, I believe it.
Breathing fire.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, my youthful soul needs to believe that happened. But the thing that'll make it easier.
Got a new inbounds, out of bounds question.
Right?
Did dragons ever exist? Really?
Season 7 only has 7 episodes. Season 8 only 6 episodes. So, at the end of the day, I think season 6 had 10 episodes.
Yeah.
So you're not watching, a 15, 16 episode season.
Yep.
They're pretty easy to get through as long as you can just sit down and watch. And you can watch them anywhere on the go. So.
We binged House of Cards, every series. That was easy.
Yeah, you're right.
Did you finish the last season without?
Yeah, I watched it.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
I watched the first couple episodes. I wasn't into it without him.
I mean, it wasn't the same. It definitely was not the same. It wasn't. It lacked. He's a great actor. I mean, he's one of the best actors, I think, in the world.
I mean,
he's incredibly odd.
Agreed.
And deserved to get booted from that show.
Kids, this is how you waste a segment. Talk media and movies and
how
trivia.
Did we even start about this?
Here's
about
the
footage of the NBA lottery?
Yes.
How did that start?
Yes.
How did we get into Game of Thrones?
Because of Starbucks Cup.
Oh, that's right. On set. Then Aaron Rodgers, then we got to this, then we hit every other show in existence.
All right, BT.
What?
You saved this answer.
Okay.
I know you're taking... Portland +7.
Yes.
Can they actually win? Don't answer.
We'll save it. We'll get Axe Update. I'll answer that. We'll come back. We'll do the blast. Tiki and Tierney, Axe Update right now. Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. As we take a look at the one who got it done this week, he's back and he's starting ahead. Shohei Ohtani. That's right. The Angels' dual threat, who's just DHing this season, as we know, is repaired coming back from the arm issue. Starting to get a little hot at the plate after missing the first month and a half here. Ohtani, 6 for his last 17. So a little bit better than 333. He's got 4 ribbies. His first bomb Last night, my buddy was actually at the game. He was at Target Field. My good friend Dano, who is traveling for work, and he works with Bloomberg, so he was there. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go. He bought like a $30 ticket, a little chilly, and he went to see Berrios actually pitch for Minnesota. Got knocked around a little bit, but Ohtani hit like a 440-foot bomb. So let's say it's good to see, and good to see his swing coming back, and good to see him back on the field. Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. So Tiki asked me the question before we went to Axe Update. Do I believe the Portland Trail Blazers can win tonight? I'll give you the answer directly, but a couple of things for some context here. Now, we know that when Steph plays and Kevin Durant does not, they're 30-4.
Mm-hmm.
They've also won 25 out of 26 when Steph plays and Kevin Durant does not. Now, lost in that equation is, you know, who do they play against? And what was it, back-to-back? So the opponent, there's so much nuance there.
Yeah.
I think it's a way, anybody, listen, you can say whatever you want, but anybody who honestly thinks the Warriors are better without Kevin Durant, you're a clown. I don't know what to tell you. You're an absolute clown.
No, they're not.
But a lot of people actually intimate that. Well, you're absolutely lost if you think
that. The only thing that you can say about the Golden State Warriors without Kevin Durant is that they get back to constant and consistent ball movement. Right, there's no like get stuck in a spot and I'm gonna run to the spot, cross you up, and take a jump shot. And we're gonna shoot with, you know, with 20 seconds left on the shot clock. That doesn't happen with the Golden State Warriors without KD because they're constantly moving. They're gonna take the best shot. They're gonna find the best shot. KD can, if they just say, all right, we need 8 points real quick. KD, go give us 8 points. Mm-hmm. It's just different. So it's. They're different. They're not better. They're different, and they're familiar with it, so they're able to execute, and that's how they beat the Houston Rockets without KD. So it's possible,
I think they're better. How do I prove that? I don't know. It's common sense. Kevin Durant makes life easy for everybody.
Of course he does.
So, yeah, ball movement's a little different for sure.
I mean, they have how many assists did they have? I forgot how many they had, but they were averaging like 20-something. I think they had like 30 or so.
Talking about the Rockets game six?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, in Houston. I mean, now this gets us to tonight. And can the Blazers win? Well, you know, again, first of all, anytime you're talking about Steph Curry and Klay Thompson with shooting dynamics that are that potentially off the charts when they're locked in, the Warriors could win by 20.
Yeah.
I mean, just because those guys can combine for 50 or 60 points and shoot 70% from the floor. So anything I say, I don't want to say take it with a grain of salt, but here's my answer. I do believe Portland covers the 7.5. And I do believe Portland can win, and here's the reason why. Tonight, not for the series. They just won a Game 7 on the road, and Damian Lillard is one of the 10 best players in the NBA, shot 3 for 17.
Good point.
Okay. As a team, they shot 15% from behind the arc. They were 4 for 26 overall. They won against a good team. Not a great team, but a good team. In the game that we just referenced, Game 6 in Houston, Andre Iguodala had 5 threes. He hadn't hit more than 4 since 2011. So an incredible overachievement statistically. Is Iguodala going to do that tonight? The answer is probably no. Looney was 6 of 8 overall.
Yeah.
And Livingston had 11 points in 14 minutes. So Looney and Livingston combined for 25. Iguodala's done something he hasn't done in a decade. And Damian Lillard is going to play better.
Yeah.
Mainly, why can't they win the game?
Mainly sure. Because the Golden State Warriors aren't going to trap and shut down Damian Lillard like the Denver Nuggets did. And they just hoped, we're going to take away Damian Lillard, hope C.J. McCollum doesn't score 37,
He was so good.
I agree.
He scored, and SportsCenter did a great job. I think it was Tim Legler. He's got that, like, Legler's lab. He's a good dude. And where they highlighted every pick and roll basket by McCollum the other day on Sunday, and it was a thing of beauty from a pure standpoint.
Look how good he shot. 45%.
It wasn't just that he hit the shots. It was literally almost every distance within the pick and roll was hit. Like the variety of pick and roll baskets.
Yeah.
He was a surgeon. And so tonight should be fun. Listen, do I think the Warriors win? Yeah, I think the Warriors win 5-6 points, whatever. Put a little something on to make it a little more interesting. I'm going to ride Portland plus 7.5. But would I be stunned if Portland steals game one? No, unless they're content to be here. And that I can't quantify. that does worry me a little bit. Like, you win a game seven, and I don't think Lillard will let them do this, and I know Cantor won't let them either, and Stotts. But if they're a little happy just to be here, you don't know how that's going to manifest itself.
I don't think
itself.
They are.
I don't think so either.
I know Damian Lillard is not.
You're probably right. Ready for the blast, Teak?
Yep, let's hit it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Teaky and Tierney.
Okay, the great EJ Manuel's going to hang him up. The next stop will be Canton. EJ Manuel's going to retire. Remember him, the first quarterback taken in the 2013 draft? What was that, 16th overall?
16th overall.
State? 16? By the Bills, he retires. We'll ask the question. Not sure that there's necessarily an answer. Who was the best quarterback from that draft?
Was it
my guy Geno?
It's probably Geno. There wasn't a ton. There was one quarterback taken in each of the first four rounds.
Okay, who are they again?
Geno, Mike Glennon, Matt Barkley, and Ryan Nassib was taken down in the fourth round.
Out of Syracuse. Mike Glennon might be the answer, actually. Mike Glennon's done a little more than,
yeah,
don't you think, than Geno?
He played, yeah. He became a starter.
Yeah.
But maybe Geno's still hanging around. And Mike Glennon actually might be hanging around.
Mike Glennon's still hanging around.
Yeah. It's an interesting draft because there wasn't a ton of, like, great quarterbacks, but they were really good players. Le'Veon Bell was in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Reed was in this draft. Kyle Long was in this draft. And even your guy, from Marist, your kicker.
Oh, my kicker.
Yeah.
Love him.
I'm forgetting his name.
I don't know why we just got rid of him. The Jets just
Jason
got rid
Myers.
Of him. We got rid of
Jason
him.
Jason Myers.
He got too expensive. He signed for a lot of money.
Undrafted free agent.
Out of Marist.
Yes.
All pro, by the way.
Yes. The Mr. Irrelevant, Jack Doyle, who's still currently with the Indianapolis Colts.
Tight end Jack Doyle.
Yeah.
He was Mr. Irrelevant?
Mr. Irrelevant.
That's a good fight. I didn't know that. Good stuff. All right. The Suns, Josh Jackson. This is a weird story. Charged with felony escape. And resisting arrest after trying to sneak into the VIP section of a musical festival. What should the Suns do with Jackson?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Why was he even arrested?
Was he violent in
trying to get to the VIP? He was. Mike, did you see it?
There's no video, but he got into a confrontation after he was denied entry.
Oh, that you can't.
The police were called because he was getting angry and belligerent.
Okay.
Probably drunk at a music festival.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then when they handcuffed him, he tried to run away.
Okay. That makes it a little worse, for sure. But I don't think I'd do anything if
no,
I'm
they're
the
not
Suns.
Good. They shouldn't do anything.
Probably
I mean, obviously,
not.
This is he's got to let this adjudicate itself. He'll plea out of this because it seems like a little bit of a felony escape. I mean, come on, it's a music festival.
I've never heard of that, a felony escape.
Whatever.
I mean, there should be really very few rules at any music festival.
We know how these work. I mean, I don't like our criminal justice system because they overcharge and force you to plea so they don't have to go to trial. Because felony escape? Seriously?
I mean, I can tell you, I don't even know if I've ever heard that term now that I think about it.
What?
A felony escape?
I've never heard that term. Never heard it, ever. So... it's an overcharge, I think. So I think he'll plea out of this. It'll be fine.
Good thing they didn't have that when we used to ring and run as a kid. We'd throw eggs at houses. Felony escape. We used to run for the hills. We got to go to the park. They're not going to chase us into the park.
Yeah. Resisting arrest, I get it. But felony escape?
That's a weird one.
Put him in jail?
Come on, Josh. And by the way, Josh, a little disappointment so far. Start playing better. Mm-hmm. Not that that should offset any sloppy behavior, but that's an odd one. All right. Miguel Andujar back on the IL. For the same right labrum tear that kept him out a month, and he was like 3 for 38. He couldn't hit a lick. The shoulder's obviously an issue. What point should the Yankees shut him down for the season?
Shut him down. Shut him down now. I mean, the labrum is an interesting piece of your body because it's soft tissue. You got to stitch it back together in order for it to heal properly. But then, I mean, you got to sit and chill for 6 to 7 months. Doing rehab, obviously, and strengthening the surrounding tissues and musculature. But if you try to rush back at all, it's ripping right out again. So shut them down now. Get them proper surgery and say, see you next year.
You know, that's the important time aspect there in terms of a time frame. And you have to start planning for next season here. You know, if you just keep kicking this down the road and you have a few interruptions and he goes on the IL and then he comes back and he goes down to the minors and he does rehab and he comes back and you shut him down, forget about 2019. Eventually 2020 is compromised. I think Tiki brings up a good point. I'd shut him down now. I wouldn't mess around anymore. All right, the NHL Western Conference Finals include two teams with no cups, the Blues and the Sharks. Shark Tank's got to be hopping. The East has the Canes with one cup and powerhouse, of course, the Bruins with a ton. They've got six. So is it better for the NHL to get a champ from a storied franchise like Boston or a desperate one like the Blue Sharks or the Canes? First of all, Boston's had enough success. Screw Boston. I don't care about Boston. They had the Red Sox. They had Patriots.
Jealous,
get out of here. I don't care about the Red Sox. Boston. A little jealous. Sure, I admit it. I would say that I think for a sport like hockey, I think really fundamentally any sport, anytime you could tap into a part of the country, a demographic, a region, a fan base that hasn't had that ultimate success, and you create the highest level of history, that you will benefit from that residually over time. Yeah. So I would say that a smaller market
I think I think, well, that feels like an interesting story, but if you're the NHL and you want eyes on the final,
they're getting the same number no matter what. Whatever the rate, they're not going to fluctuate one.
But
way
the Bruins you can have a conversation about and talk about the history, and there's probably more Bruins fans. They're old school. I'm going to say Bruins.
That's a reason why you should want them. Old school fans. You want the new fans.
That's a good point.
You know?
That's a good point. It's a dicey one, but yeah, I'd say
there's
Bruins.
No wrong answer.
No,
here.
There is no wrong answer.
Except the Bruins. Tiger. Serious for a second here. Tiger and his girlfriend sued in the drunk driving death of the bartender or of a bartender at Woods' restaurant here. Will this impact his play this weekend at all?
Probably. I'm going to say no. It's obviously a very sad situation. Bartender who was on duty, got off duty, stayed at the bar, got served, overserved, they're saying.
That's the claim, yep.
By his colleagues, and then got into a car accident. And look, Tiger's, I'm sure, upset about this. His girlfriend actually runs the bar.
Yep.
Tiger is obviously just the owner of it. I don't think it's going to affect his play, but I'm sure he has a heavy heart. It's not like he doesn't know these people. It's his restaurant. So,
yeah.
It's a tough situation.
It's a very tough situation. Anytime somebody passes away, anything else is secondary. Certainly a 7-iron from 175 out is meaningless in the grand scheme of life here. But I think, you know, and I certainly, it's not. I don't want to sound callous, but I think one of the great things about Tiger Woods is his deep ability to compartmentalize what he has to focus on and what he has to shut out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think that's the way his brain's wired. And, you know, I'm sure, not to say he doesn't have a sensitivity chip. I know he does. But I think when he steps on the first tee, he's going to be all business. That's what he usually is. We'll see.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Yeah, speaking of golf, Sir Nick Faldo tomorrow. And we've got Brandel Chamblee on Thursday from the PGA. The Bethpage Black.
Brandel, you want to bet with Brandel,
I
want to
bet.
Right?
We've had him in studio. Yeah. We had him on the phone a bunch.
The $1 bet. $1 bet on Lee Westwood.
That's right.
He was trying to spew the
nonsense. Lee Westwood was going to find
him. Was that the PGA Championship?
The U.S. Open.
Oh, U.S. Open.
Like, Brandel, if this was 3 years ago, I might even stop. Stop with Lee Westwood. That was 2010, Lee Westwood. The best golfer never to win.
Yeah.
Lee
Westwood. He was in contention on Saturday. Or on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And
we had him in studio on Friday.
Yep.
And I said he's going to blow up over the weekend. And he shot a 76 on Saturday.
It was bad, yeah.
And I wasn't wishing it. I mean, Lee's a gamer and quite the accomplished golfer.
It was brought up because the best golfer not to have won.
Yeah.
I think that was the question. And I forget why.
No,
we
don't think it. I just think it came up organic. I think we were just running down the leaderboard.
Yeah.
And he's like, keep an eye on Lee. I'm like, Lee Westwood, please stop with Lee. You know, and that's how it started.
Reggie Bush will be in studio tomorrow.
Cool.
No. On the phone. He's in the phone tomorrow. That'd be cool to have Reggie Bush in the studio.
We had him on Tops 2 years ago when he first started doing
Reggie's
TV.
Great.
He's terrific on TV.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Isn't he doing the new college football?
Yep.
Who's doing the new college football
show with him, Urban Meyer, and Matt Leinart.
Okay, so, yeah, that's right. Is Wonstadt still doing that too?
No, I don't think Wonstadt is doing it any longer.
What about Robert Smith?
Who?
Was he doing it?
Robert did it 2 years ago, I think. But he's not doing it anymore.
So they made some big changes.
Yeah, they did. Hmm. They made a lot of changes. I think this is basically a whole new show.
That's why you watch the SEC on CBS anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Interestingly, who did I hear? Someone who was trying to convince Urban Meyer. Because, you know, he goes through these, I'm going to retire, then I'm going to get back into the game at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's trying to get Urban Meyer to go coach at USC. Who was that? Was it Reggie? It was Reggie. So we got to ask
on
Reggie.
On the air?
Now, I don't think it was on the air, but it was just like an interview when they announced the show.
Gotcha.
And I saw Reggie down at the Valspar Open. He came down and played in Ronde in that tournament that Ronde helps host.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him about it. He's like, yeah, it'd be great.
He would. I mean, Urban, they'd be playing for national championship in 2 years. No doubt about it.
We got to ask him, see what Urban is saying
don't
in private moments.
Don't you think Urban's done?
No.
You don't think he's done?
I don't.
I do. I think he's done.
I think stress causes him to develop this condition.
Yep.
And he had a lot.
What do you just see him like?
It was funny because it's easy to be cynical and say he's just whatever, he's just making it. I think it's real. Like when he has stress, it causes this issue to flare up. He has a couple years without stress. I don't think he's done. Knicks aren't getting number one.
Stop.
Suns. No. Hawks.
This guy, make up your mind.
Hawks.
We'll find out
soon. I bet Hawks.
You bet all you want.
What do you think?
Knicks. What do you think? I think we have a 14% chance, and I hope we get it. Hawks. See you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.